Welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, April the 8th, 2017. This is Season 11, Episode 13. I'm Scott.
I'm RJ.
And I'm Matt.
Welcome to the show, everybody. If you'd like to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. 334-272-9228 is the number. Check out InGameChat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter at InGameChat. You can find us on Facebook, same place. You can email us, everyone, at InGameChat.net. Check out the stream going on right now on Twitch. Head over to twitch.tv. At the top of the page, you'll see a little search box. Type in game chat, and you will see us. Click on us, then you can watch us, and you can listen and watch while we broadcast live. You can also chat in the chat room with everybody who's in there as well. So check us out there. This is... Matt's not going to be here next week.
No, I am not.
No, he is not going to be here next week. But you'll be here the week after that, though, right? Should be.
I should be.
Yeah, cool. Assuming everything goes well.
Yeah, if I just don't stay down in Orlando.
Right, next week. Exactly.
I'm never leaving Disney World.
God, I haven't been to Disney World since 88 or 89.
Well, you know, Epcot was the experimental project community of tomorrow, and I just go and live there. Live in different countries every day.
Captain EO was still there.
Oh, gosh, yeah, Captain EO.
93 for us, it was Disney Magic Music Days. We had to go for Lehigh Band.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Yeah,
I never, never had a reason to go back since, so.
Well, I don't necessarily know that I don't... It's Disney World. That's your reason to go back.
But, yeah. I've been to Euro Disney, Disney World, and Disneyland.
You better have more than just a name. You better have something else there to show me than that.
Star Tours.
They've had a ton of different stuff since I've been there, though. You know, Captain EO isn't around anymore.
No.
I have no idea. Like, the MGM Studios wasn't there at the time.
And it's no longer there now. It's Hollywood Studios.
Right, yeah. Well, they've got Universal Studios.
But that's something different.
And that's a different theme park altogether.
And they've got Harry Potter Lane.
I know. There's tons of stuff.
Yeah.
To do
Busch Gardens.
In Orlando. And I haven't gone to do any of it.
Yeah.
So, anyway, welcome to the show. Big week for Xbox fans.
Yeah.
Console fans, I guess, if you're...
Something got announced, maybe?
Well, not really announced so much as it was just revealed. Yeah, we knew about the project. We knew about Project Scorpio. Yeah. They announced that last year at E3, and they gave us a bunch of specs. Well, they didn't give us a bunch of specs. They gave us some big terms to throw out there that sounded impressive at the time, but we had no proof or anything like that. Well, we have the proof now. The proof looks like they kept their word on that. I don't want to say the proof looks good, but... It is exactly what they said it would be as far as the insides of the machine and what it can do. They kept their words on that. We'll see how it all pans out. I mean, we're expected to get a Scorpio, whatever it's going to be called. We're expected to get that this year, sometime later this year. We don't know if it'll be... We don't know what the price will be. We don't know if there'll be different SKUs as far as hard drive purposes or something like that. We don't really know any other details other than what's in the machine itself. We don't even know any prices or when it'll be released. The other thing, regardless of any of that, they could have given us all of that information right now. They could have said, here's what it looks like. Here's what the name's going to be. Here's all the things it can do. Here is the different versions of it that you can buy. It's going to be released on this date for this much money. Put your pre-orders in now. But without any games,
mm-hmm.
You've got nothing. You got an electronic box that I am likely to buy. If Nintendo is any sort of example,
you'll know we'll probably be able to do TV.
I don't think so. They're getting away from that.
Really?
I mean, it'll
hook it up to the internet, and you'll go to Netflix or something.
Yeah,
I guess,
it's gonna be an entertainment box as far as that's concerned. Yeah. It's gonna have all your apps and stuff.
But I mean, what isn't nowadays?
Play your DVDs, but Blu-ray, right?
No. Yeah, yeah.
Play it'll have Blu-ray, a it'll DVDs
have a 4K Blu-ray player in it, just like the Xbox One S does now.
Yeah.
Why Sony can't put one in theirs? I have no idea. Why Sony can't? I mean,
money.
Even I suppose.
When in doubt, it's probably money.
I suppose. Yeah. So, but again, they could have said all of that stuff, and without any games to support it, or without any games to show off, you got nothing.
The Scorpio, is that like a full step from Xbox One, or is this another half step? Or?
Do you remember? You remember when you would go through the cell phone, versions,
like like the iPhone 5 or 5S.
I'll use the iPhones as an example. Okay. I'm on a. I had the very first iPhone.
Oh, the Gorilla Back?
Yeah, I had the very first one.
The Silverback?
The iPhone 1, Gorilla Back.
What year was this?
Decade
ago?
2007, 2008, something like that.
Right.
So I had that one, and then they came out with the iPhone 3G, and then the iPhone 3GS, and then the iPhone, I think they called it the, I think they went straight from iPhone those to 4. Yeah. And I went from the iPhone 1 to the iPhone 4, and then they came out with the 4S and they came out with the 5, and I went from the 4 to the 5.
Mm-hmm. This so you're is what skipping that, half generations.
Right. Every other generation. This is what this feels like. And we talked about this. You know, W. Matthew hadn't been in the room in forever. He used to come in all the time. And he used to call us, too. But I remember him floating that out there that it's likely going to seem like cell phones now. Instead of console generations, you're just going to have every 2 years an upgrade and then every 2 years another upgrade. At least that's what it seems like for Microsoft. We don't have anything in place to say that this is actually going to continue to happen, but you're going from Xbox One to Xbox One S to Project Scorpio. Xbox One S to Project Scorpio, not that big of a leap. Mm-hmm. Xbox One to Project Scorpio is a much bigger leap. Mm-hmm. So owners who got in at the ground floor for Xbox One can make the jump to Project Scorpio and really see a difference.
Right.
So that seems to be the level that we're going to be going into. As far as Microsoft is concerned, Sony doesn't show that sort of thinking. Well, they might go that way, but I don't know.
Good for Sony. Because, I don't know. For me, consoles are more of an expensive investment. So doing it like... it used to be 5-year cycles for consoles.
What if they start doing contracts?
Oh, jeez.
I'm looking at the way cell phones work, man.
I know.
Hey, new Microsoft console coming out. You know, you've got your just bring your old one in. We'll take it in, and you can get this next one for $50 with a 2-year contract until the next one comes out, and then whatever. I don't know.
Now the price you stuffed talked about. That's the reason why it's not. Sound like a good idea to me. I mean,
yeah,
I have no desire.
5 years, I could make $400. That's like a little over. I mean, under $100 a year.
And heck, the way I play, I play consoles, the ones that I have still work. My Dreamcast still works. My
PlayStation
still works. My Sega CD still works. My PlayStation 2 still works. I mean, there's no
PS1,
reason. PS3, PS4, all that.
What Microsoft seems to be doing with the Xbox One. All right, cool. That's a vast improvement over the Xbox 360, which was an improvement over the Xbox.
Yeah.
Those are, to me, legit console generations.
Yeah. Significant
then going
jump
from
up.
The 1 to the 1S. Okay, so it's a little bit prettier.
Yeah.
Then, you know, the 1S just came out, it seemed like, you know, 2 weeks ago. And then now they're doing, you know, here's the specs for the next one. And I'm just like...
PS4, PlayStation Pro. I mean...
Yeah.
It looks pretty... Some games look prettier, but I don't have a reason to pick one up. Everything still works.
The PS Pro to me seems... It reminds me a little bit more of, in a way, maybe just because I'm... loving the PlayStation more than the Xbox right now, but how they would have like the PlayStation, then they went to the PlayStation 1, which is a slimmer, then they had the PS2, then after a couple of years they went to the PS2 Slim,
yeah,
the 3 Slim,
yeah.
That's kind of seemed, you know, like I don't mind doing that, where it's basically the same, maybe a little upgrade.
Microsoft has done that before. They did the Xbox 360 and the Xbox Elite.
Yeah.
360 Elite, I guess. They did that.
True, and, they did.
So, and then they did some...
But that one actually had... That's the one that came out with HDMI, which, because I don't think the 360 originally had HDMI.
No, the 360 had HDMI.
Oh, did it?
It didn't have built-in Wi-Fi.
Okay. I knew some
right,
something.
Yeah. The original 360 did not have built-in Wi-Fi.
It also had built-in Red Ring of Death.
Yeah. Well, you've always got those. I mean, you know, my Xbox One had a thing, a disk drive that ate my discs.
No.
I had to get a new one sent in. So.
Yeah, I've had the yellow light on my PS3 before. It took me a long time to buy a 360, actually, because of Red Ring of Death. I've seen it happen at a tournament, actually, at I think final round in Atlanta. I think the number 15, final round 15, 16. Someone had an Xbox Elite, and that thing red ringed on them at the tournament, man, in the middle of a tournament. I forgot that, and that really put a lot of doubt in my mind about the durability of any of those 360s at the time.
Yeah, I don't know where I stand on this. The expectations on the Scorpio, and I wish they'd hurry up and name that thing. The expectations on the Scorpio seem to be that the price expectations on the Scorpio seem to be.
Ha ha! I was right. OG 360 did not have HDMI.
I could have sworn it did.
No, because I remember that. I thought that was, for some reason, I was thinking the Elite was the big deal. That's why I got that.
I remember because I had.
Because it had the composite cables.
Mm-hmm. And I had. I had some stupid monster cables for the
monster cables are stupid.
They are very stupid. I stopped that. I stopped that process.
Yeah. Here's stupidly, all of my money.
Stupidly
take it.
Priced.
Yeah. Know? Oh yes.
Yeah, it's really ridiculous. Of course, mono price wasn't that big of a thing at the time.
Right.
And now that's where
it's pretty
I
pretty good actually.
That's where I completely go.
Scorpio should play Xbox One titles, right? It's not going to be a whole other art.
It did better.
Okay, good.
Did better.
Then I will say then for Lethal Migraine, who I know is an Xbox lover, it's not that I hate Xbox. I do. I love Microsoft because they give me games that I like to play.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have an Xbox One. I don't have a One S. But, you know, save up money between now and whatever, and I would like to get a Scorpio.
Yeah, basically console-wise for me, I don't have an Xbox One because not enough titles to gather my interest.
I wish
there's a couple out there, but not enough for me to pull the trigger on buying one.
The thing that saddens me is Microsoft is sitting on some IPs that I absolutely love, and they're just not doing anything with, and that just saddens me. I would love another
feeling.
Midtown Madness.
Sega has a bunch of titles that they have just sitting in a slot somewhere, and they won't do anything with it.
Crimson Skies, Mech Warrior, for goodness sakes.
Mm-hmm. Sega's supposed to be doing something with Bayonetta, from what I understand.
I haven't heard anything about that.
They released...
Unless they're undoing the console exclusivity on 2.
I don't know. They released a... for free on Steam, they released 8-bit Bayonetta.
Mm-hmm.
And then people who downloaded that and played it got... they either got some kind of code that they deciphered that led to a website, or they just got a link to a website while they were playing that. And when they went there, it was a countdown site that had an image of... I think one of her shoes in the background or something as it was counting down, and I don't know what
like the back of her heel.
Yeah, and I don't know what
with the Scarborough Fair attached to it.
Maybe I don't know, but it was definitely they had said that's definitely her, but they don't know. It was counting down to something. I have no idea when that countdown was supposed to end.
Okay. I'll have to look into that then.
But we'll hear about it as soon as it does, I'm sure, if it's anything worth. Its weight as far as releasing a third game or getting rid of the exclusivity of 2.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, eventually I will roll around to a console. It may not be...
You're on PS4, right?
I am, and I just got I had the Wii U, so, I'm playing some stuff like that. But so eventually I will get an Xbox system, because I do miss playing those Xbox games. I prefer the Xbox controller over the PlayStation.
Mine, my...
just me, personally.
From what I hear, most people do. I mean, I can't.
I just like the way it feels. I have my, because I had the Elite, and I use that on my PC. And,
my loyalties float because I used to be strictly like, if it's multi-console and it's on PC, I'm going to get PC. But if it's multi-console and it's got multiplayer, then I'm going to go where the crowd is, that sort of thing. I've really kind of thrown all of those to the side now, and it's and I go with, you know, I look at something like Destiny where I know the community is going to support it on console.
Yeah.
And I'm already on PlayStation, so I might as well do it. I look at things like I want to sit in bed and play this where I can't do that with my PC type of thing, and so I can.
And I know some, you know, there are outliers and exceptions to this, but some games I can only imagine on one system, like for the PC, you know, more simulation based or more strategy based. I mean, yeah, you do have like strategy on the console, like Halo Wars, but you know, when I think of strategy, I don't think, you know, like Civilization stuff.
I want to say they're still doing a lot with that cross-buy stuff for Xbox.
But I mean, I typically don't. My go-to thinking isn't consoles when it comes to like strategy stuff or like a deep sim. You know, it's not consoles. Yeah.
Well, I know that you can. I know with Halo Wars 2, you specifically mentioned you can, that's a Play Anywhere title.
Yeah.
So if you buy it on Xbox One, you'll be able to play it on your PC.
Mm-hmm.
Windows 10.
Yeah.
If you've got Windows 10, that sort of thing. So going back to the console itself, again, we don't know a price. We don't know what games are going to be for it. We don't even know when it's going to be released. All we know is what it's packing on the inside. And it's pretty robust. Obviously, for a home console, it's going to be the most powerful thing out there when it does release. Sony does not have anything in the pipe ready to go for this thing to combat it. They've kind of staggered themselves with their console releases. The Xbox One S came out, and it was better than the PS4. Then the PS4 Pro released. It was better than the Xbox One S, slightly. There were things missing from it, which, again, is very odd. But specs on paper showed that it was more powerful than the Xbox One S. Even though it lacked 4K Blu-ray support, it still had 4K game support and Ultra HD, UHD features and HDR features, things like that for it as well. So, and now the Scorpio is going to leapfrog over the Pro, and then whatever Sony does will be sometime down the line, which will be better than what the Scorpio, and it's just going to go back and forth. People time and time again call in and discuss it in the chat room. I understand what Lethal Migraine is going to be saying. But
barely is still barely there. You know? That still means it is.
Mm-hmm. I'm just talking about paper.
On paper. Just paper,
the insides of the machine have better things. Look at this guy go. Well, he's just listing off these things because RJ says that there's just no games on that he wants
but,
to play.
I mean, that doesn't
I said there's no games I want to play.
But that's
didn't have titles.
Games you want to play. Yeah. I mean, like, if you have a console system that's nothing but JRPG and Final Fantasy, some people would love that. But, you know, you, RJ, would be like, nope, pass.
Yeah, I want Lethal to understand that RJ just said that for him, there's nothing that he would enjoy. And RJ is a very particular player about what he plays and what he enjoys.
Yeah.
And so, he's going to go where those games are. And for him, those games are on the PS4. So that's where he's at. So just letting you know. He's not saying that the console is superior, but for him, his PS4 is better for him than an Xbox is. So just letting you know.
Or a Switch.
There's lots of things are better than a Switch at the moment. Only exception of if you like Zelda games, sure. Yeah. Again, this goes back to what you...
We got you, Zelda.
It goes back to a matter of perception. It's subjective, like all media seems to be, or art form or anything like that, that it's all subjective to the player. It's all a matter of what the player wants. And for a lot of us, we have our own reasoning as to what we like. Right now, I'm currently playing Last Guardian, and I am in love with it. And for me, it fits the bill. It's a great puzzle thing, but you can only play it on PS4. So that's where I'm playing it.
Or, Uncharted.
Yeah, you know, they got the exclusive. And there's the other thing, and I understand that
some exclusive.
I understand that he, in fact, probably what he listed all there were exclusives, if I could look at it real quick. It's a little jumbled, but we
I looked
have
at Resident Evil 7, and that's on.
Resident Evil 7's on, yeah, that's on multiple.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But a lot of what he did list seems to be in the realm of exclusives for...
Forza, is that on?
Yes.
Yeah, that's multiple exclusive.
System? Oh.
No, that's an exclusive. That's a
I mean,
Microsoft title.
You have to understand that when we say exclusive, we also mean it's probably going to be on PC because Forza is...
Okay.
Halo Wars 2, it's got the cross-buy thing between PC and
PC. We Happy Few. I think that's multiple, isn't it?
That right now is only on PC, and I think maybe there may be the early access or something going on with the console versions or something. I'm not exactly sure. Nate knows more about that than I do.
Okay.
Crackdown 3. See, okay, so I wanted to get into this because we don't have a Crackdown 3 yet. We know a Crackdown 3 is coming. We know that is exclusive Microsoft title, so it's not going to come anywhere else except for Microsoft, probably Windows and a home version. But if the Scorpio gets released, will it be an exclusive for the home version, or will it be an Xbox One title that also has a version for the Xbox Scorpio, whatever we want to call it? I don't know. What happens here when this gets released? We talked about this with the PS4 Pro, and we never ran into the issue that no game that has been released since the PS4 Pro came out has been exclusive to the Pro.
Mm-hmm.
You can play it on both the Pro and the regular PS4. So when the Scorpio comes out, will they have anything that is exclusive to that system? Or
because then it'll start edging out the other two.
Or will it be... And Microsoft was very, very adamant about when they were talking about a new console.
Mm-hmm.
Lethal Migraine says that list isn't exclusive, that's Play Anywhere list. No, I get it, but you listed a lot of exclusive titles in there, which is good that they have that, because that's where I was going next with my conversation about the exclusivity of some of the games that they have, where you can only play those. When the Scorpio gets released, will they have anything that is just on the Scorpio, or will it all be, hey, this works on the Scorpio, and it looks really good on the Scorpio, it takes advantage of the system's full specs, or you can play it on the Xbox. You know, you can play it on your Xbox One, and it's still going to look great. It's just not going to be using all the capabilities that the Scorpio has, which is probably the route that they'll go with it. They were very adamant when they said, hey, we're working on a new console, that it will be backwards compatible.
Yeah.
They wanted that in the ground. They wanted that to say that, look, from here on out, all of your games are going to work on all the consoles that come out afterwards. We're not going to get rid of that backwards compatibility thing. All your games should be able to play on your system just like it does on the PC. Just saying.
Throwing that out there.
Just putting it out there. With the exception of, man, some of the stuff, I mean, GOG goes a long way. Good old games goes a long way to optimize what you have so that it can run, because a lot of those are older games.
But, I mean, like, you know, I have DOSBox for old Windows 3.1 games that I can still play, you know. I can play my classic games I grew up on the PC.
So yeah.
That's like extreme backwards compatibility.
Lethal Migrant and Phil Spencer said that everything has to play on all three, and I agree that's likely the way they'll go. Part of me wants to say that they'll have something exclusive to that Scorpio box, though, something that can differentiate it, something that can set it separate from everything else, where it's like...
When they did the Kinect, they had some Kinect-only titles. Mm. I mean, that's a peripheral.
Well, that was a peripheral, yeah.
I know, but, I mean, still, they get, you know, that incentivizes you to get that, you know,
No Kinect port, by the way, on the Project Scorpio.
Really?
There is no...
How's it going to spy on you?
I don't know.
I mean, because isn't that how it, like, kind of, like, spies on you when, like, you know, hey, Xbox or Home or, you know, whatever?
Well, if you have it, but they didn't, you know, the Xbox One S did not come, they dropped the Kinect bundle not very long after the release of the Xbox One.
Yeah.
I want to say it was about a month or 2 months where they said, hey, we're gonna sell a version that doesn't come with Kinect. It's going to drop the price significantly. And from then on out, all of their bundles were Kinectless versions. Yeah. They just changed the size of the hard drive on the inside and what it may have been, what color it might have been or what games came with it. All the bundles after that, no Kinect.
Hmm.
No Kinect came with it. They ditched that real quick, honestly. You know, things change. They release it into the wild and they realize, oops, people know, they realize they missed the mark.
this isn't what the community's wanting, I guess.
They saw that in sales. They saw it in sales massively from how Sony just dominated the sales market whenever these two systems released in November of 2013, I think. But PlayStation dominated and has dominated for the most part. If you were to put all the months next to each other, you would see, 90% of them would be dominated by Sony sales as far as the consoles are concerned. And then Microsoft, I think Microsoft won like 2 or 3 months in a row not too long ago. So it's not – the install base now is really – there's probably more PS4 owners than there are Xbox One owners.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, these things fluctuate from generation to generation.
They do. They do. And I don't know that Scorpio's going to help that too much. We'll see. It all depends on where they come in with price, how much they hype this. What is it going to have that you can only – and this is the problem. They can't – So, Lethal Migraine's thing where Phil says that everything has to play on all three. That doesn't help your sales of a new console.
Mm-hmm.
Because if your game comes out and people are like, I want to play that game. It's an exclusive title, right? And that's Microsoft's like, that's their Titanfall. That's their like, hey, you can only play it on our system or on the PC. I have to put that in there. But you can only play it on our system. You can't
Asterix.
Play it. Yeah. You can't play it on Sony's. However... you have three different consoles at three different price points to pick from, which means a new exclusive comes out that they think might drive sales of the Scorpio, but actually what it does is drive sales of the two lesser priced versions out there, the two console versions. And honestly, I think we're going to see the Xbox One fade away because I think Xbox One S... as far as the Black Friday...
That'll be the base model.
The Black Friday deals that we saw this past year were nothing but Xbox One S's. You barely saw any PS4 Pros, but Xbox One S was in every single bundle that they could come up with.
Yeah.
And this Black Friday, you're going to see the same thing. Xbox One S is going to dominate the sales. PS4 is going to dominate sales as far as that is. PS4 Pro, there might be a deal there. Scorpio, there will be no deal on that because it will have just been released. So... they released something like Crackdown 3. It's going to play on all three systems, according to Microsoft, which means everybody has a nice little selection. You can go small, medium, or large. Whichever one's cheapest doesn't matter for you, you know? So, I don't know. That's what... releasing something so soon behind each other seems like... feels like a misstep, because you have... I mean, how do you get sales on that console? I know people will buy it, but it's different when you say that this game only plays, these new titles that we're releasing only play on our new system. No, these new titles that come out this holiday season can play on any of our systems. How does that boost sales for your new system when somebody's got something cheaper out there? Mm-hmm. The reason Sony won the war to begin with, whatever, if the reason Sony won that thing... for the new console releases was because on the shelf theirs was $100 cheaper, mm-hmm. and so people went in and picked up the one that was $100 cheaper. I promise you, if Xbox was able to drop it $100 less than what Sony had, they would have been winners.
Mm-hmm.
I swear, I really think that. Regardless of anything, I think they would have won that thing based on that alone, not based on games. Which is where I like to base my decisions on. But just based on Joe consumer out there getting a new console for the kids, parents going out there and picking up the one that's cheaper than the other one. Mm-hmm. And I don't see how... I'm not saying it's not going to survive. I'm very interested in it.
Look, we've
curious
always,
how their sales are going to do. That's all.
We've always said about the console, no matter how powerful it is, no matter what the specs are on paper... how pretty they look. It's about the games that's on
games,
it, really.
Yeah.
Really? So if you don't have it exclusive to that, there's no reason for me to pick up your brand new system. If it still works on your
older
system that still works,
what's
the point?
And if they're going to be doing this 2-year cycle, it might be like, you know, with your phone. Like, just wait a couple, you know, I know in another 2 years, the next generation will come out. My system now will be fine. I can wait a couple of generations and then just, you know, get the upgrade, you know.
Yeah. Then, if console taught me anything, I can wait a while. I can sit on. I can sit on what I've got now because it still works. There's no rush for me to get your brand new system.
Who do we have on the phone?
Chris.
Okay, I'm gonna since he's adept at holding, I'm gonna have him hold so we can go to a commercial break. We spent a lot of time talking about this. Chris, hang on the phone. When we come back, I'll go straight to you, buddy. We're gonna be back with more in-game chat after this. Of course, all new music every single week, every single episode. We have brand new music, and this week is no different. Your first track for today comes from an old Nintendo 64 title. This is Pilot Wings. We'll be right back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. I'm Scott, along with RJ and Matt. Matt's the guy that's dancing.
Heck yeah.
RJ, do you know what this is?
Disc Jam.
Yes, it is. Disc Jam.
It is definitely jamming.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, welcome back to the show. Just a little show note here about our stream and our channel here on Twitch. Let's do a chat room roll call real quick. We've got Lavos in there. Nathan92, who...
Hey, Nate. Miss you.
Or may not be here next week.
Of course, the week I'm gone.
I know. Well, that's good. We need somebody to fill in for you.
No one can fill in for me.
Nate can do it.
Ouch.
Well, I hope he can. We haven't seen him in forever, so I'd love to have him on the show.
Well, I would love to be there with, you know, when he's on the show.
We'll see if he can.
More of his dad than I do of him.
If he can make 2 weeks worth, that'd be amazing, but I doubt it's going to happen. AC Wraith, Badger Dash, Drunk Degenerates, Duke Frukum too. Hey!
Duke!
Great to have him back in.
Yeah.
Hoggy's hanging out there. Lethal Migraine, Multile, what's Nuclear up, Fire, STM Fuller, and Vol Mike Devil. Just wanted to say that Hoggy's channel, Ribshack TV, which is on Twitch, and Multile's channel on Twitch, we are both hosting those channels. So whenever we're off and they stream, you can find it on our channel.
Yeah, definitely check out Hoggy's stuff. Kev's lifelong friend of mine.
He is. He's been on the show a few times, actually.
Yeah.
Here
love
in the
guy.
Studio, which, by the way, Kevin, you're always welcome, dude.
Just not next week, because I won't be here.
He's welcome next week. He's welcome any week he can make it. Doesn't have to be here. You're the one who missed the Mark Hamill interview, which I am just amazed
oh,
by.
Oh, I'm sorry. I think I was, kind of deployed?
You were out of the country, but
yeah.
I know you hated that.
Yes. But, honestly, I mean, I met him back in 96. And he got my picture taken with him. And
did you have a two-hour phone conversation with him?
I did not have a two-hour phone conversation with him, but maybe best that I wasn't here for it.
Rubbing it in a little bit.
No, but I mean, maybe it's best I wasn't there for it because, you know.
You've listened to it. He barely talked about Star Wars at all.
If I was there, I would.
He ran with the thing whenever we talked to him.
Hey, I'll be seeing him next week anyways.
Yeah.
Because he's going to be at Celebration.
Anybody knew that they added to that?
Hayden Christensen.
Anybody knew that we care about that they added
I
that?
Care about that. I really want to meet him. I know people give him a lot of flack for.
Are you just adding to your collection of here's the one I met, and that's the only reason you're excited? Is
well,
that
no,
you get to
because
fill that
he's
collection?
David. He's Lord Vader. You know, any chance for a stormtrooper to meet Lord Vader?
Is Hayden Christensen your Lord Vader?
He is a Lord Vader. He is a leader of the 501st.
All right.
Him and David Prowse.
All right.
You know. You got to go with it, man.
We're moving on because I don't want to get caught in this thing.
Did he or did he not lead the 501st in the Jedi Temple all, badassery, storming up the you know, thing killing younglings. He did. He's Lord Vader.
How'd we get here?
We're always here. Hey, the phone line.
Yeah, anytime Matt's here, that's where we're pretty much at. So anyway, let's go talk to Chris real quick. Hey, Chris.
Y'all got off topic real quick, didn't you?
It doesn't take much. You know that easily, that our minds just fly away. What's going on, man?
I found a couple great deals at a flea market yard sale this morning. I found a couple old Sega Genesis games complete in the box. Basically, immaculate. I only paid $1 a piece for them.
Nice.
And one of them was the original Spider-Man, and it had an image at the bottom corner that's, you know, 50% off Marvel Comics details inside. It's still got the original coupons that came with it in the registration card. Huh. They've never been used.
Sounds like it was somebody after my own heart. I saved so many. Like, I've got trash bags full of Nintendo. And I say trash bags not in the sense of
they're garbage.
Not in the sense that they're garbage. It's just how I put them all together and then put them in a location. And they're all my Nintendo boxes, because I had this Nintendo. I was gonna say entertainment center, but it's the Nintendo sit in there and the gun sit in the back, and then you had like rows of games that surrounded it. It was this wasn't a carrying case. It was just a place where all the games could sit and the console itself.
It was a shrine.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about. It had a little lid that lifted up, and the games sat on the right side.
Uh huh. It had this glass. It was plastic lid, but it was a dark plastic lid, see through, and you could pick it up, and then there was all the games. The two controllers could sit in there. The gun sat in it as well.
I used to have one of those too, but I don't know where it went.
Any place for the trackpad?
The trackpad?
Yeah.
Oh, you mean the power pad?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, the power pad. No, that was before this peripheral was before the power pad's time.
Yeah, I vaguely remember that. I hadn't seen one of those in a long time.
But yeah, that I was, and I still do this today with like my movies and stuff, and pretty much everything else that I buy. It's not that I keep them around, but all the documentation gets saved. It gets put it back into the box and then sealed, and then the box gets set aside and stored away or whatever. So yeah, if you were to buy anything from me, you would be getting everything that came with it. And by everything, I mean all the documentation, everything. I was such a stickler for that. So
I wish I was the same way years ago.
No, I've always been that way. I've always been that way. With all of my big purchases like this. Yeah, I've always been that way. So, what have you been playing lately?
Not much. The other game I found on Sega was Thunder Force 3, which was a shooter, shoot 'em up. But I know most people call them smuts and all now, but hey, I say, I'm old-fashioned. I just call them shoot 'em up. But, yeah, I looked that one up. That one's worth like $65-$70 or more. It's expensive.
You do this every weekend? You hit up the yard sales and
whenever I can get up in time and just find, you know, whenever I can, yeah, get out and out.
I tell you, man, I get up at 4:30 every morning during the week. On Saturdays and Sundays, I am so glad I don't have to do it. I sleep in so much on the weekend, so that yeah.
That's kind of rough. Coincidental. I get up at the same time I used to work in Birmingham, you know, and I used to get up. I had to get up early that same time, and I got into that grind where I had to get up at the same time and. It's just stuck with me, you know, so that's kind of hot, isn't it?
Now I remember Thunder Force. You mentioned Thunder Force. I remember buying, deciding between two games. It was either Thunder Force 4, which you said, Thunder Force 3, you said was like 65 online somewhere, Chris?
Well, that's what it's worth, but
yeah.
People are asking more for it than that, like around $90 to $100 on eBay.
Yeah, but back when I was purchasing a couple of games, I had a choice between either Thunder Force 4 or a little title called Radiant Silvergun. And I picked Thunder Force 4. Had a ball with it, by the way. Don't get me wrong. Thunder Force has always been a fun shoot 'em up game, mm-hmm. by the way. But Radiant Silvergun, that was one of Treasure's first vert shooters that was doing that did pretty well. And it was rare, in fact. I think on eBay it was selling for like $200 to $300.
Wow.
For these are for used
good condition?
Mid-condition.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Now, premium was, like, significantly higher than
yeah.
that. And I was thinking it was the only way I was going to ever get that thing was to play it on a pay a bunch of money to get one of the low-grade copies on eBay or something. But then I bought a 360, and one of the games in the arcade was Radiant Silvergun.
Mm, nice.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, you can definitely find some old games. It's just an issue of people not knowing what they're selling. Like Castlevania, Symphony of the Night, yeah. Black Label. Someone had five Black Label copies, first run of that game at a yard sale. The lady selling it just didn't know what she was selling.
Hmm.
And he took all five of them, kept one for himself, put the other four on eBay, and the rest is history. He got a significant amount of money from that.
Such a great game, though.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I remember that. It was a great one. Might have to get in play that and do it again sometime.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing I found at that same yard sale was I found some Japanese glasses that one of the ladies there was selling. That she had been to Japan in the late 70s, you know, the early 80s, like 78 to 80.
Mm-hmm.
And they had questionable content on there, and she thought she'd never get rid of them. So I got
leave it to Chris to come in and buy the.
At first, I looked at them and said, "Well, I don't see anything wrong with them." And but it was one of the ones that didn't have that kind of content on it. But, you know, they were all questionable content, but there was like 10 glasses in the whole set, and I got the whole thing for $5.
Wait, are they like face like prescription glasses or like drinking glasses?
No, glasses, okay. Drinking wear.
Gotcha.
Cups.
Why would they have questionable content on eyeglasses?
You'll be surprised at the things I've seen.
I mean, of course, all the things that Japan's well known for and their different views on culture and stuff, you know, it's completely different than what it is like over here, you know. I was kind of a little surprised, but yeah, it's got those images on there, and I couldn't believe that, but oh well, that's Japan for you.
Yeah, $5, why not?
Yeah.
Well, Chris, we appreciate you calling in, as always, buddy.
You're welcome. Y'all have a good one.
You too, okay, man.
Did y'all see Ghost in the Shell?
No. I was going to go this past week, but we canceled that thing at the restaurant on Wednesday when I was going to go. You know, I was going to kill time in Montgomery instead of going back home, and I was going to watch the movie and then go over to the restaurant, but we canceled that because of the weather that we had in here.
That's right.
So I'm probably not. If it's still around and nothing came out this week.
I can't think of anything.
I get the feeling Ghost in the Shell is going to be in the theaters for a good while. So
yeah, so I may go see that. I still yet to see Get Out, and I kind of want to see that too. So I may change my mind and go see that on Wednesday or something. But
double feature.
Yeah, no, I don't have time for a double feature. I won't have time for a double feature. Mm-hmm. But anyway, thanks for calling, Chris. We appreciate it.
All right, y'all have a good one.
Take care now.
Bye.
If you'd like to get in touch with us, it is very easy to do, and we'd love to hear from you. 334-272-9228 is the number, 334-272-9228. I have my Amazon page opened up on the Destiny 2 PlayStation 4 Collector's Edition. At some point, it's going to be going on sale eventually, and I'm going to grab that thing, or at least, you know, the way Amazon works, put it in my cart and buy it, and then decide if I want to keep it afterwards.
Yeah.
So... But yeah, what did I want to get to here? Going back to, I don't know if I want to go back to the Scorpio talk. I think we're done there. Because we really, you know, that's, again, it can do wonderful things, but if there's nothing to play it on, it doesn't
matter.
Nobody
likes Microsoft anyways.
So, yeah, I know. We all.
You're trying to instigate something, aren't you?
Oh, we're just trying to get a rise out of Lethal Migraine. So there was a report earlier this week. In fact, it was on Monday that some users are reporting warped Switch consoles.
Yeah.
And I'm going to... Let me see if I can open this up and then...
Apparently, the Switch consoles have been having some... not just the warping. Like, I've been hearing a lot of things about, like, the dead screens. And,
Mm-hmm.
Well, I might run into the problem of having a bent console. There's warping, apparently, going on with the Switch consoles. Prolonged time spent in the dock while playing a game... could possibly warp the console. I posted a picture in our chat room so you could see it. It's a slight warp, and that would really affect me. I don't intend to travel with that console at all. I intend to pretty much fully keep it docked, and so that might be an issue.
Oh, goodness.
Do they have an open dock that's not like, you know, it's not sandwiched between the two sleeves? Or?
Oh, no, they don't. Mm.
I'm looking at the image now. Goodness, that's some...
Hmm.
I think somebody has made a peripheral that you can. It still doesn't work that way.
Huh.
No, they don't have an open dock. Somebody made a peripheral that's kind of like an iPad stand where you can plug it in and have it supported. But it'll charge the system while it's doing that, but it doesn't send an HDMI signal up to your TV. So the only way you can do it is in the sandwich. There's a lot of this thing that it feels like Nintendo didn't do any kind of
R&D
quality control with.
Yeah,
I mean we had questions about the only thing we had questions about the durability of was the game cons themselves, because of how they felt and how that flimsy they felt. But
yeah,
I didn't think it would extend to the main screen here.
There was the Joy-Con issue. Now there's the warping and a couple of other things that kind of came up during the initial release. So I don't know what they're going to do about that. But then
I'm thinking warranty right now. How long has this thing been out?
Yeah. Month?
A month? Yeah, your thing's...
That is apparently the side of a Switch that has rarely left the comfort of its cradle. It's been warped out of shape. Luckily, it hasn't affected the way it plays. The lack of disk drive is definitely a good thing here. I'm wondering if it being docked is the problem, though. Most of my time has been on the dock, and it has to work harder to output to a larger screen. Another commenter says, yeah, I was looking at mine 2 days ago, and it looks like it's starting to bend bend the same way. I just shook it off, though. May need to look again. I would call Nintendo and send them pics of it so they can look into why this happened and prevent it from happening to others. Even if they do fix it, the guy says, they should send you a new one for free, though your Zelda data might be gone. Can't transfer data between consoles.
Yeah, so...
The morons.
Yeah. That's at the point where, like, well... I'll just stay with it warped.
Like if you had it saved to a memory card, I don't know.
Hmm.
No. If you had it saved to a memory card, your game saves will I think transfer, but your game purchases, if you bought them digitally, will not move.
It's locked to that.
It's locked to that console. What they're referring to is the fact that your save data is stored on the console itself, so if something happens to it, you can kiss your progress goodbye. 120 hours exclusively in docked mode, no warping on mine. I'll keep an eye on it, though, said one user. I played 150 hours of Breath of the Wild in exclusively docked mode. My room is also quite warm due to a boiler heating system in my house. My Switch has had no problems in any way. You definitely have a faulty system. Send it in for repair with Nintendo. They'll send you a new Switch and transfer all your data to it. So, yeah, now we've got those reports as well.
Okay, so a bad batch?
I guess.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yep, so.
Yeah, Fully says he wondered if the warping was due to heat, and I thought earlier it was just because of
shaking.
Mishandling, maybe.
Yeah.
Like Etch-a-Sketch, maybe, someone with frustration or whatever, but no. I guess it is just a bad batch.
Possibly. I haven't played.
See, at least, when I was holding your Switch...
Yeah.
It felt...
You were going to say Wii, weren't you?
I was. But no, I've never held your Wii. The Switch to me just feels like, you know, it's a lot thinner than like the Wii U gamepad. You know, that actually feels like substantial and like...
Oh, yeah. The Wii U gamepad is...
Yeah, that's like a meaty...
Thick piece of...
You know. Yeah. Most of the time when I'm
durable.
Most of the time when I'm playing Zelda, I'm actually just watching on the gamepad instead of on the TV because I have like a map up of Hyrule. On the TV. Mm. But, you know, so, like, it feels like, all right, this is, you know, durable. That Switch, it just felt like
I don't mind the weight of the Switch. It lends itself to the portability of it as far as the weight is concerned, but the overall size of it is not conducive to me feeling like a natural portable machine.
Yeah.
It still feels awkward. Because it's so very...
Yeah, we said there's nothing portable about it.
Yeah, it's so long in between, and...
It is longer than the Wii U gamepad, right?
Yeah, it is.
Because the Wii
U... Not by much, but it is.
Yeah, maybe it's just that little fraction of a bit. The Wii U gamepad feels good to me.
Yeah, I brought my 3DS because I sat in here and played some of it while I was waiting, and...
Anything good?
What did I play? I played Mario Maker
for a while.
Just something to run through, you know, kill time.
And
that one's just, you know, when I'm done with it, fold it.
Boom,
I'm done.
Yeah.
The Switch is like, well, it's going to sit exposed now. I can't fold it. I can't cover the screen. I can't do anything. I can put it back in its case if I want to.
Yeah.
But there is just something about that. Just it feels wrong as a portable for me. I don't know.
Like we said, it's not portable. I don't think anything fits in. It could be a purse. You can't put it in your pocket.
It's like
You could try to, but
I could kind of see where Nintendo was going from the Wii.
It's already bending. Don't do that.
I could kind of see where the Nintendo was going from the Wii to the Wii U gamepad, you know, to the Switch. Like, see their progression in a way, but they don't. To me, they didn't need to do that because they have a handheld system. They have a portable system. It's the 3DS. You know, that
still viable to this day. Yeah.
You know, so having a portable console instead of a handheld is just. I don't know if it's necessary.
It is weird, though, that when I want to show off the console, I just put it in my case and bring it, the Switch.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you're still putting it in the family of consoles, home consoles,
yeah.
Like, if I want to show you my PS4, I've got to lug around all the cables with it.
Yeah.
I have to lug around the machine itself, the games, the controllers, everything else, bring it here, hook it up to your TV, plug it in, get everything going, and start playing it to show you something with the Switch. I'm like, here's the Switch, turn it on, here you go.
Going to tournaments the same way. Run around, take your console, take two consoles, all your connections, and the games you're playing on, that fits in like that's a big duffel bag right there.
I feel like that's the same with a 3DS, though. You just
now,
like,
in that sense, this is a very awesome portable console, the Switch.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a small footprint, and all the things you need to take with you are so very small, and everything else attaches to it. It's very easy as far as a portable console to take everything that it needs to be a console. Very, very easy. I don't need any kind of extra whatever. I just pack it into everything else and go. Whereas if I'm taking the Xbox or the PS4 or anything like that, or the PC itself, I got to make room. I got to plan ahead. I got to prepare for everything that I'm going to be. So in that case, it is a great portable for that. But as an on-the-go system, it doesn't feel like it works. I mean, obviously,
same thing. You're taking it to go, taking it somewhere else to be hooked up.
Yeah, we've fallen back into the Nintendo Switch talk again, and derailed. We have to take a break though.
Yes.
When we come back, we will have more of in-game chat. We'll talk about what we played because we haven't even touched on anything of what anybody has played this entire time. So we'll go over that, and then we'd love to hear what you've played. Give us a call 334-272-9228. Back to the music again. Brand new, released this week. I almost picked it up because there's a steelbook version of it, but I decided not to. I'm still kind of interested in it, which is odd because it's a game that is not in my wheelhouse. Persona 5. This track is called Tension. We'll be right back.
I do love this song.
In game chat, I'm Scott, along with RJ. We got Matt here as well.
Howdy, y'all.
Thank you for listening.
Is that creepy or sexy?
I don't know.
Can it be both?
Just fits the style of the music. All right. I don't know.
I do like this the L.A. Noire soundtrack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the
game.
Stop
that voice now.
It's real good.
I had to play this recently. I left something unfinished in that game.
STM4 cracked me up.
Yeah, it was a dark night of a city. It knows how to keep secrets.
Oh, this would be perfect. Hey, if you remember any lines from Max Payne, the original Max Payne.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Have at it.
I don't know.
I
don't remember any of them.
Hey, chat room, give us some...
And he was really, like, his was dark.
Yeah, give us some Max Payne quotes in the chat room. See if Scott can say it in his noir voice.
Yeah, I don't know. It'll take him a while to get that.
Yeah.
Feel like, I feel like exactly what L.A. Noire was, private detective.
Yeah.
Gumshoe, yeah, there you go.
What do they always, they call them dames.
Yep.
She's a dame. She had legs that went all the way up. or no, Naked Gun. She had the kind of legs you'd like to suck on for a week. I know.
Nah.
My world turned upside down when that dame.
We're gonna spend the next it's only got 30 seconds left. We're gonna get out of this. Get back into the conversation. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. And then the STM Fuller comes in with a line.
There you go.
Cue the music.
Yeah. Anyway, thanks STM Fuller. Appreciate it. Welcome back to the show. If you want to call in and ask us what the hell we're doing, by all means, 334-272-9228 is the number. Let's go over what we played. I'll start with Matt.
Zelda.
Really? Just all Zelda, huh?
And Mario Kart 7. But yeah, Zelda.
Okay, well, talk to us about Zelda.
Oh my god, I love this game. I really do.
One day I'm going to start that game, I promise.
It feels to me more like, I forget who was like mentioning it, I think on Twitter, one of our listeners. But they said it feels more like it would be Zelda 3 from the original NES days. Like that kind of, it feels like that Zelda as opposed to Ocarina of Time Zelda.
Yeah.
I love it. It's just open world. I'm just exploring around, just stumbling into who knows what, putting Lethal Migraine to sleep with Nintendo Talk. I think it's a great game. I'm truly enjoying it.
You're playing Mario Kart 7?
Yeah, on the Game Boy. 3DS.
Oh, on 3DS. Okay.
Yeah, you know, get a little spare time and everything.
Yeah, I'm surprised you're not playing Mario Kart 8.
I have it, but it's on the Wii, and my Wii right now is playing Zelda.
I do plan to eventually... start that up and play it. I talk about it all the time, or I think about it all the time, and I never actually do it. So.
It is so worth it. I've taken down one of the Divine Beasts.
Yeah.
And, it's a lot of fun.
All right, so that's it. What do you plan on playing? You plan on playing anything before you go to Celebration? More Zelda?
I'm going to try and get a little bit more in.
See, if you had a Switch, you could take it with you.
Well, I mean, heck, I could take the three. I'm guessing I could take the Wii U with me and just not hook it up to it. See, I wonder if you don't hook it up to a TV, if you just bring the base system with it and just play it off of the gamepad. I wonder if that would work.
I don't know.
But I'm gonna be
try it.
Honestly, I'm gonna be too busy.
But with the Switch, however, you wouldn't need to take the dock because you wouldn't be plugging it into the TV. You'd just have that. You'd charge it at night or whatever, and then play it. You know, whatever
while I'm
you
waiting
want to.
In line.
And then you just. But then you've got to carry it around, and it's
true.
This big thing
that,
which again goes against
and
my initial instinct of a portable gaming system.
And unfortunately, what I'm starting to realize when it comes to like keys, phone, and wallet, Stormtroopers don't have pockets.
I've stopped taking, you know, when I used to go to E3 and go to PAX, which I still go to, I used to prepare and take all this stuff with me down to the convention floor. My camera, and not my phone, but digital DSLR?
Yeah.
Camera? Yeah, actual camera, not my phone. I would take that with me. I would have my notepad in there. I would have, I would take my 3DS because I was doing the Street Pass stuff and picking up. it got annoying carrying this stuff all through the day during the convention center. And eventually, I stopped taking all that stuff. I just started going with my phone. That was it.
Well, I mean,
taking shots with my phone. Everything else, just, you know, using my phone as the camera.
When I'm at Celebration, I'm going to be in, you know, costume.
You'll be in gear, yeah.
So, in, at least with, like, my pilot and
Celebration
my,
is how many days?
Thursday through Sunday.
Yeah, you're gonna be doing that the entire time? You're going to be dressing up every day?
One day, I'm going to probably have the stuff with me. Want to put them on. Okay, I'm probably going to have the my gear with me, like leave it in the trunk, so that way, like, you know, go in my just, like, regular clothes, and then just, you know, change out, like, you know, during the day. Mm-hmm. Or knowing me, I'll probably just, you know, change and just be in outfit the entire time. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm planning to, like, one day, you know, be in one outfit, the next day be in another. For the group photo day, I'm going to be my pilot, you know, and stuff like that. And
three outfits?
Yeah, three outfits.
One for each day?
And then just one day of just, you know, chill,
okay,
I guess. Right. But, like, you know, my Republic Commando has a backpack, so I could throw my keys and my wallet in there if I need to. My pilot has pockets, which is awesome, so I could, you know, easily throw my stuff in there. Stormtrooper, though?
You're stuck.
I'm trying to figure out what to do with that.
You're going to have to carry a backpack on that one. Or just let out the straps so you can carry it.
I'll figure something.
Too bad you couldn't register as media.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because, I mean, only speaking, I don't know about Celebration, but I know for PAX, they have media rooms. And when you go in there, you can rent. And by the way, you don't spend money when you rent these. You rent one of their lockers.
Oh, yeah.
So you can hold all of your equipment in there. And basically renting one is just you going in and handing them, like, a driver's license or something that they hold on to. While they hold
their
stuff.
See, I wonder if they have. I wonder if the convention center there might have lockers. I don't know.
They might, but you know what? You need to look into. You need to look into media registration. Doing this thing that we do.
Yeah, I didn't think about this.
I didn't think about it until now either. But I was like, that's
which is weird because like for
at.
E3, that's how we went as media.
You could have totally done this because they're going to be showing off Battlefront 2.
Yep.
So yeah,
but. No, I'm super excited. I, you know, I've been doing.
You
my
get
laundry.
So much all access passes to things, and well, I guess I have no idea what they have. I should look that up. I don't want to go. I'm just saying what's available to you.
Yeah.
I have no desire to go.
Oh my gosh, it's gonna be so much fun.
If I go to Orlando, going to Disney World or Universal Studios, not doing Celebration.
I did get some of my Garrison members were all. I got us like 4-day passes to Disney World. So we're going to go on, like, Wednesday and then again on Monday. And
why would you not? I mean, you're right there.
So I'm super excited. But, yeah, you know, I got my gear. I'm going to be in outfit. I'm going to meet,
Hayden Christensen.
Hey, I like Lord Vader. Billy Dee Williams is going
to
be there.
That's a better – that's something to get more excited about than Hayden Christensen, I would say. Billy Dee. He was at PAX one year.
Oh, really?
Yes, he was.
Mark Hamill's going to be there.
Talk to him on the phone.
Yeah, I know.
Have I mentioned that?
I got my. He has a picture of me with him. So this is '96 is when I saw him at Dragon Con before Dragon Con became what it is now, and I was still in college then. And
what year was this?
'96.
Wow, I went to Dragon Con before it was what it was in '96 too.
But
I went in '90. I went in like 92.
Okay.
With my.
It was like one hotel, I think, back then.
Yeah, it was.
Because that's where I met Jeremy Bullock. So one of the guys that is in the dorm room next to me, he was in the theater department at Huntington, and he actually made me. He was like costuming, and he like made me Jedi robes. And this is before the special edition movies came out. It was before the 501st was invented, you know, created, whatever. And so like before Star Wars had its big resurgence, you know, that it is nowadays. And so he made me like, you know, Obi-Wan Kenobi Jedi robes. And so I dressed up for Dragon Con like that.
Okay.
And like Mark Hamill is a keynote speaker and he's talking and like his publicist saw him. And she's like, oh my God, would you mind taking your picture with Mr. Hamill? And I'm like, yeah. And so after he was, you know, did his little like, you know, speak and stuff like that, he's like, oh my gosh, that looks fantastic. I'm like, awesome.
This big Star Wars fan like you?
Who, Mark Hamill?
No, the person who made your robes.
No.
Okay, so I was trying to see where he got the source material from, just look at the movie
photos,
or just photos and everything.
Photos like and the action figure I gave him.
Okay.
But it was just neat that yes, Billy Dee is still alive. But it was just neat, you know, being able to like, you know, meet him and you know, before you know, not to be all hipster, you know, I liked Star Wars back when it was, before it was cool, but, you know, 40 years of liking Star Wars, I guess.
And what year did you go, 97?
96.
96.
I believe it was.
Yeah, so yours was, oh, wow, it was Atlanta Hilton and Towers, the Westin Peachtree Plaza, in the Atlanta Civic Center. 13,400 people attended that.
Okay.
That was June 20th through the 23rd.
I think,
1996.
So long ago.
I'm looking at the 1992 one, which is the one I went to, and that was just the Atlanta Hilton and Towers. There were only 6,100 people there.
Jeez.
For the entire thing. And it was July 17th, 18th, and 19th.
Now it's just, it's getting.
Now it's Labor Day. It's every, yeah. It's every Labor Day.
It's getting too big. And honestly, just not as much fun. I'd rather go to Celebration if it's anywhere.
I wish you'd come to a PAX, man.
I would love to go to a PAX. Maybe next year.
I really wish you.
But I mean, Seattle's a long way to travel.
Let's go to San Antonio.
I was actually talking about that today at the. They have an air show here in Montgomery at the base Maxwell.
Which I really, by the way, I was amazing. In here putting my headphones in the studio yesterday on my way out because I like to have them up here so I don't forget them, and Greg put me on to his afternoon show. Hey, tell us what's going to be on the show tomorrow. I said, well, honestly, I really wish we weren't doing a show tomorrow. Yeah. I would rather be at the air show.
It was amazing. The planes they have out there, just beautiful.
I know. I know.
Anyways, but I was talking to one of the guys there who's out of the station out of San Antonio. I'm like, I kind of really wish I could go back to San Antonio. Well, I mean, not that I can't, but like my whole experience of that city is just, you know, TIs yelling at me. So I don't know what the city's like. I hear it's a beautiful city. I hear there's a lot of fun things. But my one experience is, you know, Trainee Garrett, you know, blah, 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 you know.
Let's try and plan to go for next year. Let's try and get you in there. Because I'll get you media passes.
All right.
You know, hotel won't be paid for, but I'll get you media passes.
I remember San Antonio, yeah. Pretty city, yeah. Riverwalk, having a good time out there.
I love that. Riverwalk.
Yeah,
love
and and how it didn't get dark until like 8:45.
Riverwalk. Did you ever see Cloak and Dagger back in the day?
No.
80s movie?
I know what you're talking about.
Okay, Dad and Coleman. Yeah, they get on the little ferry boat, and I guess that's where the Riverwalk is.
The duck boats?
They're
not duck boats. Seattle has the duck boats. Derailing for a second. Let's go to the phones and talk to Weeks. Hey, Weeks.
Hey, how are y'all doing?
Hi, Weeks.
We're doing pretty good. I appreciate you holding through that.
Yeah, sorry.
That long, winding, winding thing.
We could see the air show from Prattville.
Yes, I could. Really, I could see it from my house a little bit.
Yeah, I was watching it.
When I was driving in, when I was driving in today, I was not going to take. Normally, I take 31 in, and I know that goes right by the base. And there was no way I was going to take that in, so I was going to take.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I took the interstate, so I had to drive by where the. Where the clock tower is in Prattville, and there was just a lot of people just sitting on that hill having a nice little picnic watching the show.
Yesterday at work, I was watching the Thunder Chickens doing their little stuff that they do. I'm like,
it was really cool. The coolest thing I saw is they did a I think they got about there was a total I think of 8 for the show I was watching, 8 planes and I guess they're jets. So they're but at one point they all got together. And several of them released a red stripe and then a white stripe, and then halfway through they switched to a blue, so it looked like the flag.
That's the French Air Force, their demonstration team. And they said we're gonna make an American flag. Yeah, they said we're gonna do that. We're gonna make an American flag for you guys.
That was I'd heard that there was gonna be the French in collaboration.
I was curious how they were gonna do that. Yeah. And then I saw it, and I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
it was well done. Anyway, I was going to let you know. Well, I was going to say first, I went to Dragon Con when I think about 2005 or 6.
I was there,
and it was still small enough then.
Maybe
what was that?
Six.
I'm sorry.
I was there in 6.
Okay, yeah, it was. I was there the year of all the Firefly people.
Okay,
were there.
Yeah, it was manageable back then.
Yeah, and it's like triple the size now.
Yes.
And it's ridiculous. But, I mean, I went downstairs to where they had all the celebrities, and I could literally walk. There was no line. I could walk right up to anybody.
Yeah.
And, I'm not even kidding. I walked right up to the Weasley twins.
Yeah.
And shook both their hands at the same time.
No.
And it was, you know,
I went in 92, and I was there strictly for comic books. My father took me because I couldn't drive. and I really, really wanted to go. And that year, Image Comics had just started. And you've got to, if you know your comics, you got to go back. That's when a bunch of great artists decided to leave the two big companies, Marvel and DC, and they created their own thing. Yeah. Eric Larson. At the time, yeah, everybody kind of liked Rob Liefeld, but now they don't. Todd McFarlane was the big one that they kind of pulled away from there.
Yeah.
And so I had my mission on this quest was to get every appearance of the black suit, Spider-Man, and Venom that had come out since that time. And my father went with me, and my father was very good at haggling, and he haggled these people, and he got me every single issue that had appeared at that time of the Black Suit Spider-Man. And I got a bunch of autographs. Yes, you could walk up. You didn't have to pay him money. They would sign your stuff. You could sit there and talk to them. The line was nothing. I walked by because I had Spawn number one, and I had a couple of other Spider-Man issues that McFarlane had done. And I walked by a room where some people were sitting down. It's like three people were just sitting down. And I didn't think anything of it. I just thought they were sitting there reading their books and stuff, and walked past it. And then I came back later, and the line had gotten so large. Turned out that was the line for McFarlane. And I really, really wanted to get him to sign some stuff. And when I came back, it was too late because I couldn't get in line and wait to have that done. But that was when it was manageable. You want to talk manageable? 6,100 people in the entire thing. It was one hotel.
Right.
That was manageable at the time. So
yeah.
For me, the easiest. Oh, sorry.
No, I was just going to say, you know, when I went there, there were so many people that I was so happy to, you know, to get to meet or whatever. And they, of course, they're selling their autographs. So I just, you know, gave them my germs or whatever, but not intentionally. But Anne McCaffrey was there, and was pretty awesome. So, and she was very personable, just very easy to talk to. I got to meet Ron Glass, who's Shepherd's book.
Yeah.
He just passed it last year. Like everybody else in Hollywood, but 2016 killed. I was going to let you know, by the way, for the Wii U, it's actually really easy. I did this when I first got it, or Smash Bros. Came out. I took it in the car and on a trip with a power inverter, and I could play using the gamepad, no problem, flying down the freeway. So
nice.
Hopefully not while you're driving.
Nice.
Yeah, no, I wasn't driving. But it was very manageable. The Switch for Zelda is really great. The battery life isn't fantastic.
Now, you're playing Zelda on the Switch, right?
Yep.
About like a lag? Because I've seen some
there is an annoying
lag?
Bit of lag. Never in I've never had it in combat.
Okay.
I've had it in open world areas where there's just a ton of information.
Is there lag when you're playing? Are you talking about when you're playing it as a handheld or when it's docked?
Mainly when it's docked. As a handheld, it's really smooth.
This is what I heard from like Digital Foundry and everybody else.
To me,
this game plays
opposite.
The game plays better as a handheld. The game looks better as a handheld.
That just sounds. I know. Like it should be the opposite.
I know. Now I will say that the there is a legitimate left Joy-Con issue when it's docked and you're using just when it's on your TV.
Yeah.
That does not happen when you've got it in the portable position.
Yeah, I'll never know because whenever I play it plugged into my TV, I'm going to be using the Pro Controller.
Yeah, I haven't gotten one yet, but I do want one. It's not necessary, but I will say this: if you are playing with the Joy-Con and you'd like to. And you want to try it and give it a real fair try without the other thing that it slides into. Like if you want one in each hand and your hands to be farther apart, go ahead and spend the $8 and get the grip because that Nintendo makes because it gives a decent amount of surface area and extra actual area. Like it gives it more. I don't know how to say it. It gives
grip.
It. It's not just the grip. It gives it actual area. Like
there's more width for you to hold on
to the grip.
Okay.
There's depth in the actual rubber silicone grip.
More meaningless.
And it makes it. Yeah. It makes it much more easy. Yeah. But then when you put that on, you cannot slide it into the thing that it comes with.
Right. Exactly.
For the Joy-Con.
Yeah.
But that's not that big of a deal. I mean, it's nice. It does look like a little puppy, you know, when you when you stick it in, it does. Of course, my wife loved that. But
yeah,
Zelda is amazing. It's very well done. Even the tiny little places where you think you're going to be able to, you know, to create a little bit of a shortcut, I have not encountered any kind of a glitch at all.
Yeah.
Nothing glitching.
That's
and
good.
It's a great game.
I'm looking forward to eventually playing it. I've got everything hooked up, and I should be, I honestly should get started on that thing, but.
I got all the amiibos I could, for it just because Zelda's my thing. And I was able to grab a Guardian amiibo. I haven't opened it. And I got the Ocarina of Time Link. I haven't opened that either. But I really recommend getting the, if you can, or find it wherever you can. Most places are completely sold out of any Zelda amiibo. But the Twilight Princess Link, just for the purpose of getting Epona, because her stats are fantastic in-game.
I actually picked up the...
Twilight Princess Link. I thought that...
It's Twilight Princess Link, but it's actually the Smash Bros.
Oh, the Smash Bros. Okay. Because I think Wolf Link... I was watching some videos about this, that you know, most people that just haven't been playing Twilight Princess, they use the amiibo, and it gives them Wolf Link with 3 hearts. But
right.
if
your hearts are higher, yeah.
Yeah, you have to play the game in the Wii and level up in the game and then be able to you'll have like
He's pretty good even with 3 hearts. You can heal him, just stick some food in front of him. But he's pretty good with 3 hearts.
All right.
But you know, the Guardian amiibo is the big one. That's supposed to give you the arrows that can kill the Guardians, which when you first encounter them in game, they kill you one hit. And you won't know how to. I won't tell you how to, you know, to fight them or anyway. But you know,
I've ruined many a shields trying to.
Yes, and but the amiibo is supposed to give you the ancient arrows, which if you aim right, you can kill them in one hit.
See, I was hoping they would give you like a little mini guardian pet.
I don't need it. You know, I honestly don't. It hasn't been an issue in game. You can come across those, or create them yourself, in game.
Yeah.
So much to, I mean, you'll have plenty for the, without using an amiibo, and I haven't opened it, so I'm sure there's other great things it gives you, but if you have too many amiibo and you don't have enough slots for all your weapons, it's kind of annoying because you can only use one each day.
I would love to have like a little guardian pet that you could like ride as a mount and have like laser eye.
A little BB-8 guardian to roll around and ride on it. Yeah. That'd be great.
We got somebody else on the phone, so we're going to take them. But thanks for calling in, Weeks. We appreciate it.
No problem. See you. Have a great day.
Who?
Lee.
Lee. All right. Hey, Lee.
Hey, how are you?
Doing good. How are you?
Groovy. When's the new Fallout coming out?
See, I'm wondering if any of you guys have heard of. Have they announced anything?
No, they've only announced Fallout VR for E3. That's all they've announced.
Okay, all right.
Fallout 4 VR, that is it. That's all they've announced. Now, the new Fallout, you won't have a new Fallout. You'll get a new Elder Scrolls before you get a new Fallout.
You think?
Well, that seems to be the way they go. It seems to be like, here's our Oblivion, now here's our Fallout. Here's our Oblivion, or not Oblivion,
Skyrim
thing, whatever. Yeah, so, I mean, Fallout 4, honestly, is still... I don't want to say it's new.
Big enough?
But, yeah, I mean, it's still kind of fresh.
Yeah.
For them to be getting a Fallout 5.
Are they doing
the
DLC?
The way they did the settlements in Fallout 4, I thought that was an interesting touch.
Oh, yeah.
It was a little annoying at first, but once I got a hang of it.
It was only annoying to me when I didn't have the materials.
Yes.
Leaving something unfinished, it just irked me until I went out there and found some more.
Yeah, I think that I don't know why they're stuck doing it in North America. I think that they ought to do like maybe like go over to Moscow or London, I think Moscow would be Metro.
You know, that would be like a good like a Fallout-ish game in Moscow.
Metro 20.
How about China? Because there was a lot of involvement with China in the Fallout series.
In the universe.
So,
yeah, that would
like
be
that.
An interesting.
Yeah.
Fallout Beijing.
Something like that.
Or London. I think they ought to, you know, branch out, just, you know, have somebody that was, you know, in a medical experiment and woke up in, you know, 1,000 years later in somewhere else in the world.
That would be I would play that. That would be, yeah. I think, an interesting thing because, yeah, like you said, you know, Fallout, ever since the first one, has been, you know, centered around the U.S.
Yeah, and knowing good and well that the U.S. wasn't all the place hit with nuclear, suffering the effects of nuclear war.
Yeah.
Places all over the world like that, yeah. So in that storyline, yeah. Anyway. So, yeah, I can see it going somewhere else other than the U.S.
Well, Lee, we've got to run, man.
All right.
We're up against a break. I'm sorry to make it so short, but thank you so much for calling, Lee. We appreciate it. Our number is 334-272-9228. We're going to go to break here. When we come back, then me and RJ will tell you what we played.
Yeah, sorry about that.
No. That's fine. That's fine. I forgot we took Chris's call. No, we didn't. That was the other one. Anyway, whatever. Here is music from Papers, Please. We'll be right back. And welcome back to It Gabe Chat. I'm Scott along with RJ and Matt. Our phone number is 334-272-9228. Here's music from Super Mario Maker. The main title screen music. All right, RJ, go ahead and tell us what you played.
Played a little bit of Disc Jam. They recently updated it with version 1.08. They've now put stats on there to track your progress, wins, losses, how many times you've made perfect throws, things of that nature, assists when you're playing doubles.
Yeah.
So I think everything started from zero.
Still want to play that with you.
Yeah, okay. But we'll have to set something up then. But everything you've done before the update didn't transfer over, so it's like everybody started from scratch. So you can get some really good... win-loss records there if you were pretty good at the game at the beginning. Other than that, I played. Finally got to the area required to open up the DLC for Dark Souls 3, the Ring City.
Nice.
Finally got there to the end with my main character. Now, we've already talked about how difficult the DLC is for the game.
Mm-hmm.
Because basically, you know, as long as we've been playing it so far, I guess I decided to up the difficulty because we've pretty much leveled up pretty much a good little ways in this
game.
They
expect you, yeah.
Yeah. And unfortunately for me, I'm playing this on New Game Plus 6, so everything has been ratcheted up significantly.
What do they expect you to be at, New Game Plus
1? I'm not sure what they expect you to be at, but at New Game Plus 6, you know, every enemy takes more damage and dishes out more. And I found that out the hard way because there were some enemies in the very first part of the game that killed me in 2 hits.
Hmm.
And they're low to the ground. They're crawling on the ground. So all of my... weapon attacks with my halberd, which I normally attack with, it just goes over them. I'd have to do hard attacks basically to hit them, and that's pretty slow. And when I did hit them with it, New Game Plus 6, it didn't kill them immediately. I have to do multiple strong attacks, which drains your stamina. So I had to resort to my Fume Ultra Greatsword, which is one of the most powerful weapons in the game, but it's also one of the slowest weapons in the game. I could only swing that thing one time and then back off. So after navigating all that, I've got to an area where there's this deformed-looking angel who shoots light arrows like howitzers, just a constant beam of light arrows shot at me over and over and over again. So after getting past that, a couple of Lothric knights had to deal with there, one boosting the other and the other attacking mostly. And let's see, there's more enemies that spawn constantly over and over and over again. I'm trying to see if there was a source that could break, but I didn't see anything like that. There's also some wizards in there that shoots like dark energy to you and things like that, like everyone else did. But then there's some that just turns into this big industrial strength size form of the human dreg spell that the Deacons of the Dark shoot, and they fly at you, and they took me out in like one hit. That's a one-hit kill for me as well.
It seems like a lot of that game is one-hit kills.
Yeah, yeah, and especially in this DLC there is. You also have poison swamps, again, like in Blighttown in 2 and for the Farron's Keep. That was early in the game. You have poison spells of that nature. But navigating through all that, picking up some nice new items and weapons and whatnot. One thing I picked up in particular was the Covetous Serpent Ring, +3.
Mm-hmm.
This gives you more souls, it's more enemies you get. But at this point that I'm playing, I'm not really caring about souls anymore because it takes so much to grind and build up a level or two. And you don't get much benefit from leveling up anymore. I mean, I'm at the point now where I've lost like 600,000 souls and really didn't think anything of it. Not caring about that anymore. I'm pretty much going to be where I'm at.
Okay.
So I'm going through like that. But the last point I got to in that game was this Pyromancer with a flame whip that took me out in three hits this time. I pretty much had good armor and shield with that, so I was able to endure a little bit, but going toe-to-toe with her, no, wasn't a good idea. So that's where I'm at right now, and I'll have to go back to that when I start playing again.
Anything else?
Just those two for the most part.
Cool.
For me, I have jumped back into Last Guardian, mm-hmm. and I am very, very close to finishing that. And
do you have that on digital, or did you get the...
No, because I got the
seal book.
I got the statue edition. You know,
yeah.
Because it... More than that, it just came with a steel book, just because...
It's a nice statue.
Yeah, a very nice statue. And I am really, really, really enjoying that game. It's such a great departure from everything else that I've been playing recently that is... go back to what I've been playing, honestly, over the past couple of weeks. I mean, I haven't touched Destiny at all since that first time I mentioned it. Since they did the first update, I haven't touched Destiny. I've kind of put that aside. But this is one of those games that just appeals to everything that I enjoy in video games, which are puzzles and environmental puzzles. And here's a thing, figure out how to get out of it, or figure out how to maneuver to the next thing. So, you know.
Eventually I want to play that.
Be prepared for controls that will frustrate you.
If I remember anything of the last two, yeah.
Yeah. Be prepared for controls that will frustrate you. Be prepared for camera angles that are going to frustrate you. Be prepared for one particular section that I actually looked it up because I said, I don't know how to get out of here. And I don't like looking things up. I like to figure it out. And yeah. I kind of figured out what is supposed to happen, but I couldn't make it happen. And I looked it up and I thought, well, maybe I'm wrong.
To me, that's frustrating.
Well, I looked it up and apparently this particular section of the game is, they don't outright call it a bug, but it is kind of glitchy.
Okay.
And doesn't work sometimes. I had to restart that checkpoint about 3 times before I could get the bird dog to do what he's supposed to do, and finally got him to do it and was able to get out of there. That was very, very frustrating. There's been other frustrations where trying to get things lined up for a jump and trying to get Trico to do what you want him to do can be very frustrating.
All right.
But the payoff with everything that you get out of this thing still makes it worth it. The beautiful setting, which, you know, the Ico and Shadow of the Colossus and
yeah,
this one as well, they've always had beautiful settings and this is no different. There's some great set pieces. There's some fantastic, there's just some really great moments where, and hopefully you're a pet lover.
Yes.
And hopefully you're, a dog lover.
Most definitely.
More dog aspects are represented by this thing than cat aspects. I would say cat aspects are represented by the way it maneuvers the land, the way it maneuvers through the environment.
Okay.
Because it can get on perches and does a lot of little cat things like that that dogs would never do. But
more dog in the fact that it's not evil and...
Well, more dog in the fact that the
way it terrible?
The way it responds to you.
Okay.
The way that the way it reacts to you, the way it gets excited and things like that, it shows more dog traits than it does cat traits in that regard. I had some great moments this morning before I came in. A really, really like great moment that I'm not going to spoil, but when it happened, both arms went up in the air. And I was like, yeah, I just got excited because of what had just happened. So I know that I'm getting close to the end of it. I don't like that I'm getting close to the end of it. It honestly, I started playing this back in January.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd just been going little bit by little bit. But I decided to really put in the time with it. And this game can be beaten very, very fast. In fact, there's an achievement for beating it in under 5 hours.
Okay.
And you could do that really easily. On like a second or third playthrough, because you know the environment, you know what you've got to do.
Same, right? With, yeah, Resident Evil 7. Was
the same right? With any puzzle game, yeah. Honestly. So, you know, I'm coming to the end of it. I'm not looking forward to that, but I am, because it's been forever since I've beaten a game. I play a lot of games that don't have endings. You know, mm-hmm. Pinball doesn't have an ending. Destiny doesn't have an ending. What else have I played recently? That I just haven't beaten yet. Snake Pass is one. What is it? I Gravity Rush 2 I really want to get back into, because I barely got into that. Mm. I barely scratched the surface of that game, so I'd like to get back into that, and I think that might be what I go to next if I don't go, I don't stop by the store on the way home today and pick up Nier.
Yeah, you said earlier how before the show how a lot of good talk about that game.
There has, and it's only really been the past couple of days where people have said, this game deserves for people to play it. Yeah. I do not know. It's not something that looks like it's for me, but I can't help that desire to say, you know what, I want to be in on this and see what all the fuss is about.
Yeah, I mean, I like to play it. I mean, Platinum Games had a hand in it, and if you're familiar with their... everything like Bayonetta or I'm trying to think of the other titles they have, but they had a pretty good run of action titles. Vanquish was another one, and there was another game they may have tried, something Legion or something like that. I can't remember. It was like a team based thing. I'll have to look it up later, but yeah, they've been pretty good at making some action titles, so yeah. And Nier Automata seems like it fits right in their
mm-hmm.
wheelhouse of games that they've made that did pretty well for them.
Yeah, like Sniper Elite 4, I never finished that. I played that a lot, and I'd never actually finished that. So
yeah, get back into that.
So
is that all you playing?
That is it. I played a little. I think I already talked about Yooka-Laylee, didn't I? Did I talk about playing Yooka-Laylee last week? Because I played it just before the show.
Barely remember Wednesday, yeah. Let alone last week.
Yeah, I think I played a little bit. The reviews are out on that. It comes out this week.
Did you hear about a possible new Arkham game?
No.
Arkham saw a thing about Arkham Insurgents?
No, haven't heard anything about
done
it.
Done by Montreal, not Rocksteady.
Right. Montreal was working. Apparently Montreal was working on a Suicide Squad game that they canceled. And now they've moved on to another Arkham title, but I didn't know it had any sort of...
Supposedly a disgruntled WB whatever guy, you know, posted some stuff and it got on Reddit and it got taken down.
Hmm.
So take it with a grain of salt, but, you know, this is typically how some of this stuff goes. But supposed to be 3 years after Origin.
Yeah, so, I mean, I know they're going to continue with the Batman franchise, which is fantastic, and I'm glad that they will.
The guy was saying that it's going to have Troy Baker in it as Joker and the guy that did Batman, not Kevin Conroy, but the one that did it in Origin.
Something Craig Smith, I think.
Russell, yes.
Not Russell Craig Smith. It's
Craig Smith?
No, it's an R, I thought. Robert Craig Smith, I believe, is that.
But yeah, so it's going to be 3 years after Origin. And have a Joker and Batman again.
Roger Craig Smith. Okay. Yeah, Roger Craig Smith.
Supposedly, it will have the Batmobile, but it's not going to have the tank mode. And you will have like the double team with a Robin, but not in the open world. So I mean, there's some information I was watching a video about, and they were talking about the new possible leaks for a new Arkham game. So I'm excited. I hope it comes true.
I was asking the chat room here if Nier was like, because it's Nier Automata, and I thought it was a sequel. And I was wondering if I needed to have played any of the others to understand what's going on. I don't think so.
No, they say you don't.
A lot of what I've read about that game says that the gameplay is something
sequel
that is...
What was the original?
I have no idea. See, it is. Nier? It is a sequel.
Okay.
I've never played any of the games before that, but everything I hear about this thing, from the gameplay to the story to everything, is just apparently some kind of masterpiece, and I would really like to try that out and see what happens. So,
I don't remember Nier.
I don't remember the first one. It might not have been called... Yeah, I guess it was just called Nier.
Nier.
Okay.
Thanks, so. Taz. Never played it.
I don't remember. What was it on?
Let's hit the Google.
Yep.
To the internet. I mean, like, I'm curious what generation, Xbox One.
Okay, I got
or,
it.
PS2.
Let's see, 2010, it was Nier.
Okay.
PS3 and 360. From the Drakengard series.
What series?
Drakengard.
Okay.
I don't remember any of them.
No.
Let me go back to Nier, see if I can...
Yeah, that's why I'm like, why is this not ringing a bell at all? That's kind of sad.
Wow, that box art looks really different compared to what Automata is.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to look this up.
You know what I've got coming out soon that can kind of... Obviously, it won't replace The Last Guardian that I'm going to be missing, but...
Scratch an itch, maybe?
It'll fill that puzzle void as Siberia 3.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's I've played the first two. I got an email from the PR people about it, and I've contacted them about getting an early copy and also trying to get an interview in. But
are you going to do Full Throttle Remastered when it comes out?
Full Throttle Remastered. Oh, the
LucasArts game, motorcycle game.
I might pick it up on a cheap, but I don't know when I'll get around to playing it.
Yeah.
Is that point? That's not point. What is that?
Yeah, it's a point. It's point and click. Yeah, it's a scum yeah. engine game. But I mean, if it's like
I
any
used to
the
play
other,
a ton of those back in the day when they were like brand new was Sam and Max, man.
Yeah, but if it's like any of the other remastered ones, I'm guessing you'll be able to do classic point and click the way it's supposed to be, originally, or newer controls.
Yeah, STM Fuller says, the only thing I want to say about Nier is that you need to play it several times. The completion of the game isn't actually completing the game, and the subsequent playthroughs are completely different.
Huh.
I read about that. So,
interesting.
When you beat it, you haven't actually beaten it yet.
Huh.
Put it this way. When you're playing through the first time, you come across a character who joins you on your story, on your path. And then when you're done, you do the new game plus mode.
Is it like Resident Evil 2?
I don't know. I don't. You're asking a. So when you play the new game plus mode, you actually play as that second character, and you see you see everything from a different perception as you go through it. And then when you play it a third time, it changes things again. So there's multiple playthroughs you have to do with the thing in order to really get the story. And I've just heard really good things about it. And I'm this close to actually going out and picking it up, but I don't know that I will because I don't need another thing on my plate. Also, it still feels like a game that's not going to be in my... That I'm not going to be...
Interested,
that's
motivated.
Not going to click for me.
Yeah. Interested, motivated, not in your wheelhouse?
Yeah, because I don't know. But I'm open to trying it because I'm always curious what will click with me and what won't. Especially in the genre that Nier sits in.
Yeah.
And some things that you never thought would sometimes do, and you're like, oh, okay.
Same for Persona 5. I almost picked that up. I have no experience or any idea of what the game is.
Yeah.
So why not jump into something you've never tried before? So anyway.
I was a shot for a rental.
True.
Find a Redbox.
That's true. I might look for it on Redbox. But right now, we've got to go. Thanks, everybody, for joining us in the chat room and everybody listening on the stream and on the radio. We do appreciate it. Thanks, everybody, who grabs us each week from iTunes or however you get our show for later use. We appreciate it. Go to endgamechat.net. Join us on Twitter, Facebook, our forums at colonyofgamers.com. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. And if you're on Steam, join our Steam group. Join our Xbox group. Join our PlayStation group. Just join our groups. And subscribe to us on Twitch when you're watching it right now. Thanks, everybody. Have a great week, and we will see you next Saturday. I leave you with music from Yooka-Laylee. This is the Jungle Minecart theme. Have a great one.